This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome in. Busy hour on tap. A lot of college basketball, a lot of NBA. Derek Stevens on the program coming up in 30 minutes. They have a really cool World Soccer Cup promotion going on, World Cup promotion, and a Bitcoin promotion as well that you're going to find out at that time. Pauly, the biggest takeaway last night from me, Kansas taking apart Houston, and we'll get into the more games tonight here in a second, but it wasn't about Kansas. It was not about Darren Peterson. It was about Houston.
Yeah, and issues offensively too. I know.
Five toughest games of the year, all losses to Iowa State, Arizona, Kansas, Texas Tech, and Tennessee on a neutral.
Yep, great program. They've been awesome in the tournament. Almost won it last, should have won it last year.
Yep.
But there's going to be that stretch almost every game where they don't score for 5 minutes or they only have one basket for 5 minutes, and it could come back to bite them. Great defense, great rebounding team, good on the boards. But here it's what happened offensively, and you knew Kansas would respond and bounce back after the humiliating loss at home to Cincinnati. So all the Peterson stuff dies down at least for a day as a huge win for the Jayhawks and the incredible record he has on Big Monday, 41-0, and they haven't lost back-to-back home games since 1989. My takeaway is the same about, hey, look at these top teams you played, and it's an 0-for-5 going back in a three-game losing streak now.
Yep, probably the biggest regular season game of the entire year took place on Saturday night, neutral court, Washington, D.C. Duke defeated Michigan, super solid game. Both teams are obviously outstanding. Duke, I'm going to give you something here on Michigan coming up in a second because both teams are in action tonight. Michigan gets Minnesota. Duke is also taking on Notre Dame. Big number tonight.
Oh, after a horrible letdown spot here.
Huge win, no doubt about that.
Greg Peterson makes the game 13.5.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And it was 18.5 overnight.
Yep.
On the game.
Mm-hmm. I like Notre Dame as well.
You do, just the letdown and...
limit second chances, allowing opponents to rebound just 23% of their missed shots as offensive rebounds, ninth in defensive rebound percentage. They shoot 40% from three at home. Slow tempo, Duke off the monster win, short turnaround, all the makings where they could hang in there.
Yeah, it's come down a little bit to now lane 17 here at Circa. Total's 142. I also kind of like the under in this game.
Right. And Hoops has had a nice run here. He also makes Texas Tech 10.5. You're going to like the spot for Cincinnati, too. Letdown spot for Cincinnati. Even though topping out for the year, Texas Tech, plenty of guys that can score. He laid 5.5, of course, because he made it 10.5. And I like Texas Tech as well.
Okay.
Now there's some sevens out there. Oh, man.
So with Michigan playing tonight as well.
Oh, sorry, yep.
No, at home against Minnesota. He recommended laying 22.5 with the Wolverines. He points out that they play very fast, are 20th overall in possessions per game. Minnesota's 353 overall. Massive home and road defensive splits. The Golden Gophers rank 303 overall in points per possession allowed away from home compared to number 30. They're 35th overall at home. Think about that. It's almost 300 apart, allowing 22.1 more points per 100 possessions on the road. And he also adds that Michigan has dominated inside, ranking 7th in points per possession and second in two-point shooting percentage overall. This number is sitting at 22. That's a thing. So if it's a letdown for Duke, do we get a very angry Michigan team that blew out so many great teams this year early on by like 40 points? They have that in them. We've seen it multiple times.
Yeah. I know, but I could just see a 15-point win and that's it. 12, something like that.
They're probably still hanging their heads a little bit after that game, by the way. Maybe hung over themselves.
Could be. Not bad.
There was our chance. Yeah, biggest game of the year, getting Duke on a neutral.
Yep. Miami of Ohio goes in half an hour. Team total over 81.5. They've gone over their team total 11 of the last 12, and they average 92 a game. Get ready for the Red Hawks here in half an hour, laying 9 against Eastern Michigan. Notre Dame plus the points. I really like Dayton, but from 6 down to 3.5 now. St. Louis, out of all these teams from a mid-major, I would say the team that could make the deepest run is the best team is St. Louis. Billiken's only 2 losses on the year, one of them by 1 point. Had the great win Friday against VCU, ran them out after trailing by double digits. Hard place to play, though, at Dayton, but I agree with the move from 6 down to 3.5. Joe Lenardi has the Billiken's a 6 seed right now on the 6 line.
Did you take 6 overnight?
Yeah.
Okay. You know who else in action tonight?
I just thought that was way too high.
Yeah, well, the market totally agrees with you.
Yeah.
Air Force is in action tonight.
Oh, I know, but they're playing a bad team.
Well, there's still angles to bet on this, right? Yeah. They get San Jose State. So some of the stuff that you can find at VSiN.com again. San Jose State is number 355 overall in points per possession allowed and 247th in points per possession on offense. They're laying 6.5. The total is 145. Air Force is number 357 in points per possession allowed and 363 in points per possession. Both teams go very slow. Air Force ranks 282nd. San Jose, 323 in possessions per game. How about the under 145 in this game? Although both defenses are really bad, I get that. But they stink overall. And if you're going to get a slow-paced game with not that many possessions.
Yep. Lost 20 in a row. Average margin 28 a game in conference. And blasted again by UNLV. Oh, they're bad.
Boy, I don't remember a team in the Mountain West Conference being nearly as bad as this.
No.
And our Air Force, by the way, has been competitive over the years.
Made the case for USC earlier. I bet USC, good like the spot. Again, UCLA off the huge overtime win against Illinois. Rivalry game, USC last four out, according to Bracketology. I hate the number and where it's at, though, too. But lean Wolfpack, 1.5 at home to New Mexico. Don't trust them. Big game here. New Mexico on the bubble. One of the last four teams in the tournament. Both games at 8 o'clock Pacific to cap off the card.
I'll give you a team off of a loss playing at altitude tonight. Back-to-back games. How pissed off do you think the Cyclones are? They had that chance to get maybe the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, I think right now, the talking point of that team would be they are the fourth number one seed. Had they defeated BYU, but they lost by 10. DeBanza was awesome. Now they get to play in Salt Lake tonight, down the road from Provo. They get the Utah Utes. Not a good basketball. Oh my goodness, look at this move now. Up to 14.5 for the Cyclones. But don't we get just an effort, like an A-plus effort out of this team tonight to bounce back after that loss? And oh, by the way, like Utah's really bad. Iowa State's really good. Iowa State is 7th overall in points per possession allowed, 7th in turnovers forced per possession. Utah is number 291 in points per possession allowed and 340th in turnovers forced per possession. I mean, this is, you have one of the worst teams in the country in some of these numbers against one of the best teams overall in the entire land. And the market's telling you right now, I mean, at 14.5, whew, boy. And by the way, let me flip it. Is BYU laying too many points tonight?
I thought the same thing.
Like,
I was shocked by that number.
UCF can score points.
Yeah.
They've been like a top 40 team offensively throughout the year.
Another letdown spot.
Yeah, BYU's got to lay, they've got to win by 13 or more in this game. I think UCF might be worth a bet here tonight.
Does UConn get revenge tomorrow? 4.5 at DraftKings at home to St. John's. St. John's has won 13 in a row. First place on the line.
Well,
St. John's got them in the garden on that Friday night.
Are you asking me, do they win or do they cover? Just win?
Okay, I'll just say just win.
I think they win the game.
I agree. Okay.
I absolutely would not lay 5 points with them, though.
Yep. Patino loves how they're playing. He has some great quotes after the last win. And even, I forget who they played, but the was it Creighton? Yeah. McDermott had some great things to say about St. John's and how they're playing defensively as well. And the two late games, so there's four, but two of the late games are fire. Number one, San Diego State, 1.5. There's that number again.
Yep.
1.5 at home to Utah State. Utah State off the loss in Nevada, in Reno, and they go to Viejas, and the Aztecs now on the outside looking in. Need this and to keep going. If they lose, they're out. They're not going to get they're going to have to win a conference tournament out here.
San Diego State just got beat by, wasn't like,
Colorado State.
Yeah, by double digits.
Yeah.
Against Colorado
they're
State.
They're out. They need this and more.
They have to have it.
And the winner, oh my God, it just moved 2 points. It went from 3.5 to 5.5. The winner is in. Santa Clara and St. Mary's. I'm concerned about St. Mary's, though. They're sitting there on that 8-9 line, but what's their best win? Virginia Tech? They lost the first meeting to Santa Clara.
They've killed
and they
St.
Lost,
Thomas to begin the year, but
and they lost
that's
to
not
Gonzaga.
Qualify.
They play Santa Clara and Gonzaga at home to end the season. You got to get something here.
Yeah, you got to win.
Even though you're ranked top 40 in resume rating and all that stuff, and your numbers are good, they don't have a quad one win. So if they lose this game, not to mention if I'm looking at this, I'm definitely taking Santa Clara then because they swept them.
Well,
and as I said earlier, Lenardi has Santa Clara last four in right now.
But you need Santa Clara to lose, right? Because you have them not to make the tournament?
Yeah.
Isn't that correct?
And I like St. Mary's to win the game, but now it's just popped up to 5.5 in the last 2 seconds.
Do you still have Lenardi in front of you?
Yes.
Where does he have Kentucky? They have lost three straight games. They're 5-point favorites tonight at South Carolina. They get Vanderbilt at home after that. They go at Texas A&M, and they get Florida. If they lose this game tonight, if they're upset on the road, let's say they win this one.
Eight seed.
Those are three very – I think there's a chance here. They're 17-10. I think they could be 18-13 going into the SEC tournament.
Mm.
And they could very easily lose their first round game. Would an 18-14 Kentucky team automatically be in the tournament?
Well, take a peek. DraftKings lists a bunch of teams, yes or no, to make the tournament.
To make it?
Check that out. That's not a bad angle.
They're 8-6 in conference right now.
Yeah.
So if they finish 9, if they lose out, obviously that's 8-10 overall. If they finish 9-9 in conference, lose the first SEC title tournament game, and they're 18-14, why do they have to be in the tournament? This is coming from somebody who has them on a wasted future ticket from back in like late October.
Yeah. I want to look at what St. Mary's is during the break, because they're a 9 seed right now. If they lose both games here, and then you would probably draw Santa Clara in the 2-3 matchup out here in the semis. That's not going to do it. And everyone's a comedian. Everyone says they're going to do this. Mocks now, they have the 6 against the 11, St. Louis against Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, of course.
6-11. Fortunately, second day in a row, no angle plays. Luke is 78% last 45 plays. He's hit 6 in a row. Every spread has been plus 1.5, and they've won outright. Hopefully, we'll have a play tomorrow. Second day in a row, no angle plays. Follow him at Luke Div on X.
We'll tell you which team is 26-4 to the over in this situation since 2022 next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. Welcome back. Coming up in 15 minutes, Derek Stevens, the owner, CEO of Circa, will join us in studio. Fun card tonight in the NBA. Huge one in the Eastern Conference. Knicks at the Cavaliers. Can't wait to see what this one looks like. Was actually going to bet Cleveland myself at 3.5. By the time I got around to it, it moved. You can still find it at 3.5, but with heavy juice, so no thanks. I'm going to pass on that. There are 4s and 4.5s out there, total 232.5, Paulie. You like points in this game.
I know. 6 of the last 7 have gone under, but I think it'll be a high-scoring game. And again, it's hard from a side perspective where the Knicks, they have a Detroit Pistons problem. We know that. But they've been so good in some of these big games of late against the top opponents and blasting the Celtics. And they were down 18 but beat the Rockets, had the nice win in Philadelphia. But the other takeaway is the Cavs are hot. They're playing well. I would also dismiss what happened Sunday, as OKC was so good from three and got off to the 28-5 start, whatever it was, lead. They are playing good basketball, but I would also consider the opponents they're playing too. They've had an easy schedule, so they've won 8 of 10. It's a number one offense against the number one defense the last 15 games. I think we'll see points tonight, but I do think, again, adjusted win total over. A lot of wins remaining for Cleveland as they play an easy schedule with a lot of games against teams that are tanking.
Oh, it's one of the easiest in the entire league.
Yep.
You know, I was looking last night, actually. There is an angle where Boston, they also have some very difficult games upcoming. Like tonight, there's no Jaylen Brown, and they get the Suns, although Phoenix, they're wobbled as well, hobbled. The Celtics could, in theory, track down the Pistons for the one seed because the Pistons' schedule is for the next 10 days.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare for the Pistons. So I don't know. I was kind of hoping Jaylen Brown was in tonight. I'd rather bet them with him lane 7 than without him lane 5.
I like them to win the division, though, the Celtics. I don't know if they catch Detroit, but the Knicks still have the West Coast road trip coming up. They have to go to Denver, 2 in L.A. They still have to go to OKC again in Houston. So it's a lot of losable games for the Knicks coming up, too.
Grayson Allen still questionable. Devin Booker, Brooks out for this game tonight. Yep. Suns have to have this game. I mean,
yep.
If they, well, I say that if they have like any desire to win this division.
Did you lay 280? Did you? What are you doing
no,
with
God,
that?
No, absolutely
you
not.
You can't do it?
No, no chance.
You don't think it seems like a gift? Or do because you got your
no,
big
I
tickets.
Don't.
You, really?
No.
You got your nice tickets on the Suns?
I missed the chance, Paul.
Yeah, when
I
it
missed
was
the
even.
Chance and the Lakers were even money or right. plus 110.
So the Lakers are three up in the loss column, and now Brooks is out 4-6 with a broken hand, and Booker's out a week. So it's going to be hard to track them down now.
No doubt.
But still, L.A. minus 280 to win the division at Caesars.
Yeah, Lakers have a difficult schedule as well coming up. It's one of the most difficult in the entire league. But tonight, they're laying now 5 against the Magic here.
Well, you know what to do. It's they've won 10 in a row as a favorite. They've lost 11 in a row as an underdog. Plus, I like them after... After what happened Sunday, getting blown out at home, how do you do that against the Celtics when they're honoring Riley at halftime?
I really like Boston in that game.
Yeah. I'm saying, yeah, to compete.
I think if Boston played the Lakers in the NBA Finals, it'd be a sweep or a 5-game series.
That was ugly.
But Mazzulla and Boston would not even be close. They'd be bloodbaths, in my opinion.
Well, they're great because of Luka and the clutch games. They got this great record. What did I say earlier? 32 and 50, whatever the record is, 35 and 22, but they have a negative point differential. So again, when they lose, it's in spectacular fashion. Every loss but three has been by double digits.
I think it was Zach Lowe who recently called. If I'm wrong on that, I take it back. But I think it was him who said that Luka Doncic has become an unwatchable. He complains every single possession to the referees.
Yeah.
I can't.
It's reminiscent of what happened in Dallas, I was told.
Already?
By people who followed him in Dallas.
That's pretty fast.
The Mavs had to say something to him.
Mm-hmm.
It was after every play and the complaining. But I like this spot for the Lakers. After what happened against Boston, humiliated a national TV, and Orlando continues their West Coast road trip. Got the nice win against the Clippers. But I think the Lakers will get the best of them and get the win. And I don't know I punt on the Minnesota game. I don't care who's out for Portland. I can't get behind this team right now. Where you just so many bad performances and losses. Rudy Gobert called them out and said lack of effort, and it's also on the coach. Then they follow that up with a stinker and lost as a 10-point favorite.
Right.
And then Sunday they catch Philly on a back-to-back with no Embiid and lost as a 9.5-point favorite. So you want to lay 6.5 tonight, be my guest. 235 is the total. 6 of the last 7 between these two have gone over.
They have, and also the Blazers at home facing divisional opponents since 2022, 26-4 to the over. Games going over by 10 points per game. Thanks to BetLab Sports for that one. But I'm not going to get involved there. How about the Warriors at the Pelicans now?
Everyone out.
Draymond, I think, is going to play, although he was questionable. Porzingis, Steph Curry, Trey Murphy all out of this game. DeJounte Murray is going to be available for the Pelicans. Golden State's 0-8 straight up in ATS on the road against teams allowing more than 118 points per game this year. It's a pick 'em now. Total is 227.5. I got to check out my guy, Guy Santos props. Guy's been on fire lately.
Okay, player props while you're doing that. I'm glad you brought it up. Kevin Porter's been great. The Bucks have been solid. They've won 6 of the last 8. A lot of those is underdogs. Just look at Kevin Porter's game log, what he's doing. And he's $1.20 at DraftKings to score 18 points. I like the over tonight with his points and also the game over and what should be a frenetic pace against the Miami Heat. Total of 228.5. Bucks are playing well, and so is Rollins. He's been scoring for Milwaukee. And also Dallas, flag out again. I think they actually beat the Nets. They've won 5 in a row in Barclays. Do with that what you want. But Middleton has been heating up. He's been scoring a lot, and so is P.J. Washington with all these guys are out. And I didn't have an update on Gafford. Did they update Gafford? He was questionable too, but I would think these guys continue to get it done, leading the way with points with Washington and Middleton for Dallas.
I don't have an update on him. Didn't you want to go at it with Bagley as well?
He
was unlisted.
Yeah, he wasn't listed, but he's been grabbing the rebounds.
The rebounds, yeah.
Because they've been sitting Gafford out all this time. And he's been coming in there and swiping a lot of boards. So that's a good ladder play if you go back and look at it and stuff that you can, if you can find it. I couldn't find anything on him today.
Also, on that note, the Jared Allen thing, that was fun while it lasted. Right. That has to be when Mobley doesn't play.
I don't know about that.
Well,
you think so?
Because
have a rapport. Him and Harden have a rapport.
Yeah.
And you know Harden will reward you if you attack and run to the rim.
It was impacted, though, the first game back from Mobley last Sunday or whatever it was against Oklahoma City.
Well, my comeback is you're playing the number one defense.
Yeah, but they were also without a ton of guys.
Do you want to go points, rebound? What's that? What do you bet? Gafford's playing. Do you want to go points, rebounds combined?
But that's what I would look at, yeah.
Yeah, that's a better way to attack it because you can get there, you can clean the glass.
It's around the same number as it was before Mobley came back. It's about 24 and a half, and that's what we bet at it, the one game without Mobley. But now he's back, and I'll give you another one, too. I know that this would be popular, but he's also questionable. Kuminga tonight, if he plays for Atlanta against Washington.
That was too high. That he came down. 13 and a half. Come on.
What, his points?
The Hawks, no, the Hawks can't be 13 and a half.
Okay, I'm sorry. His points prop is 9.5 or 10 and a half, and people, I saw one sports book today tweeted out that the most popular bet or one of the most popular player prop bets today is Kuminga to score 15 points and Kuminga to score 20 points tonight in that game. But against Washington and their defense in a game that's going to probably have a ton of points, if Kuminga plays, don't you have to be involved here a little bit with him? I think that kind of makes some sense anyway.
Have you seen our guy Quentin Grimes lately? He's been doing it again too. He's been heating up with the Sixers.
Has he?
He's in that 10-11 range. Yep. He's not afraid to shoot. That's not a bad angle either.
I did play Miami and a little bit on Miami and Milwaukee over 228 during the commercial break. Not a big bet, but I think the number's a tad low here. And Zach Cohen wrote up today, Tyler Hero to go over his points prop tonight.
You mentioned Zach Lowe. He had an interesting question. You want door one or door two with the Denver Nuggets? Door one is they continue to show us who they are all year and they can't stop anything defensively and can't guard anyone. Or is it Aaron Gordon comes back, they'll be fine, don't worry about it.
I believe in that one.
You are you? It makes him mean so much.
You know, he was having a terrific season.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I would say that about most teams down one of the key guys. I mean, he is, what, the third best player on the team? And he was playing out of his mind? Yeah, that's huge. Yeah.
I still can't believe they lost, though. Golden State sitting all those people.
Yeah.
And you gave up all those points. It's getting fun now. Miami of Ohio undefeated, conference championship week, and conference tournaments right around the corner. The first bid goes out next Saturday, and four bids go out that Sunday. So if you're betting college hoops, get your edge. Get the VSiN Pro access through May 1st. Just $29.99 with the Hoops Mania special. All the best bets, the betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, full access to every VSiN show on demand, and the March Mania betting guide. Breakdowns, trends, strategies, and picks. If you're planning to bet hoops, VSiN Pro gives you a real edge. Hoops Peterson on fire. Plethora of plays today. Check out his write-ups as well and all his picks. Sign up now, vsin.com/subscribe.
Yeah, well, this time of year, I mean, Peterson and Burke, they've been doing it all year along with Josh Applebaum. But more people are going to be contributing to the website on a daily basis with all these games in college basketball. Sunday is March already. So with just a ton of games, and you're going to get write-ups and picks galore.
TMI Ozzie did bet Highsmith Saturday morning. 950-1.
All right. Yep. Derek Stevens next, owner of this great property. Attention, big ballers. He'll explain an incredible offer currently available at Circa next. Welcome back. We were hoping to have Derek Stevens on now, but something happened with a flight today, so not going to be in studio in time before the show ends. We'll catch up with Derek next week on the program. Mike Palm, VP of this great property, will be on the show tomorrow, I believe. And if he's available, I think probably a good 45 minutes with him because he loves the NHL, he loves Olympic hockey, and he'll have a lot of takes and a lot of bets to make based on the games resuming playing the second half of the season tomorrow night, Paulie.
Very interesting article today from Jonathan Davis going back to the break after Four Nations, and 10 of the 14 games saw 6 goals or more. He's making the case for sloppy play and a lot of goals out of the gates tomorrow. Also, we'll see what happens with the weather, but I think only 2 games are on the East Coast. A lot of the games are late and on the West Coast. So it'll be fun to kick around as well, and you can read his article up there.
Think about their travel, by the way.
Well, it's also how many guys going to play where they're going to the
Eichel's
State of the Union. But yeah. They don't. Okay, he already said that?
Yeah. Then the team announced Eichel.
The Devils play tomorrow.
Yeah.
He's going to the State of the Union.
Sure. So, but think about the overall travel where, again, because of the snowstorm in the Northeast, all the players that are flying to Miami, this is yesterday now that we're talking about, right?
Did you see you can't get a jersey? Did you see that nonsense?
Of who?
You, Team USA, everyone wants to buy a Team USA jersey.
Oh, I believe it. Now? That's good.
Nike was caught off guard because, quote, Canada was such a big favorite. What? They were $1.20, something like that.
Well, I would say this. Even if they would have made a million more uniforms, they probably would have sold out instantly.
How do you not have that ready?
Here's why. I mean, do you know how big, we don't think the Olympics are, it's not that big of a betting deal. Did you see that girl who won figure skating who was, she's an American? She went from, in the span of a couple of days, she went from 211,000 followers on Instagram to like 3.6 million.
Is that right?
Oh, it takes off like wildfire when you're good like that. Yeah. And so, have you seen the ratings, by the way, for the hockey game?
No, I have not.
I have not either. But imagine if that game was played at 2 o'clock Eastern time, whatever.
Yeah.
A little bit later on in the day.
And you referenced Derek's answer on primetime last week. What was so good. That's like it's weird. 4 or 5 a.m. is no man's land.
Right.
Like you bet 2 a.m. Okay. 7 a.m. All right. No, please no 4 or 5 a.m.
It's tough. And
because 1 a.m., 2 a.m., I can stay up. I can tough it out.
Right.
7 a.m., I get out of bed. All right. But, you know, 4 or 5 a.m., no man's land.
Did you make a bet on Miami? Or you like it, but not enough to bet it with the team total? The game's starting pretty much right now.
The team total, yeah.
Team total, yeah. Okay.
Yes, 81.5, yes. We got a lot of NFL news, though, too. And this was great. So, number one, competition committee. They won't be discussing a proposal to ban the tush push. That's what the UFL did. But, remember how this drove me nuts? What the Bills did to Jacksonville? Almost picking up and carrying Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, yeah.
They are going to address aiding the runner, is how they called it. Offensive players pulling or carrying teammates, like McCaffrey and Josh Allen. Aiding the runner, Troy Vincent. We saw players being literally picked up and walked into the end zone. Is that what we really want? But nothing on the actual play when we talk about someone behind the quarterback or the tight end, whoever's under center, and push. Amen. That's beautiful. That I have no problem
with. It happened a lot in the last couple of years.
Well, it's out of control, especially with Josh Allen. I have no problem with what the Eagles do. But it's not just the Bills. But you can't, you know, pick up and or keep carrying someone.
Right.
Blow the play dead, number one.
Sure.
And how they kept it going. And even guys on that Jacksonville team gave up on the play when he took it down to the one-yard line. The UFL made field goals what was it, 60 plus 4 points. What do you think of that?
The NFL will never do it.
Outrageous? Okay.
No, I mean, if you're the UFL, you have to tinker to get eyeballs on the games, right? Should they not be? That's like we never had the three-point shot until, the 80s? And all of a sudden it was introduced. You're like, wait, this is crazy. This is Larry Bird's most three-point attempts ever was like 81 attempts in a year, I believe. Or makes. I know it was one of the two. Nobody ever took three-point shots. How could you possibly make that part of basketball? Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, look at what Steph Curry did to the game. So by adding an additional point by a longer-distance field goal, I'm okay with that.
Tush-push band, 60-yard.
How about this? How about if you miss an extra point, you get -1?
I like it. 60-yard field goals worth 4 points. No punts allowed inside the 50-yard line. UFL rule changes.
I really like that one. So even if it's 4th and 27 at the opponent's 48-yard line, you're going for it?
Yeah. I would say the number one thing is PI cannot be a spot foul. And the number two thing is get rid of the onside kick. Let's go 4th and 15 in lieu of the onside kick.
Yeah, the PI thing, unfortunately, is never going to... It's killed me as an NFL fan, a football fan for 40 years probably now.
Sirianni today, I can't guarantee A.J. Brown's back. Buffalo? Where would you like to see him if he doesn't come back?
Well, first of all, if he's not back, do they not have to trade him before the draft so they can get picks? Because there was talk, I think, at the combine that he's going to be with the Eagles until like June 1st.
Okay.
You're not going to trade him after June 1st. I think you'd have to deal, because remember, they traded for him on draft night a couple years ago.
Zach Ertz will be back next year. Cleveland, as we talked to Tony Rizzo earlier, ESPN Cleveland, Andrew Berry, GM, no decision. Week one starter, we're looking at a lot of options. Prediction market, Sanders is 50% to start week one. Sanders, Watson, or do they bring a veteran in? Win total 6.5. I can't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's on the table in Miami regarding Tua, but how are you gonna trade that guy?
At this point, I wouldn't give up much for him at all.
Atlanta will cut Kirk Cousins. They tag Pitts. Everything's on the table at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. They said that today. Kyler Murray, can you get there?
For Minnesota? What's the ceiling for Minnesota?
Win the division. If they can go 9-8 with that motley crew last year, with that defense, and they bring in Kyler Murray?
I think the Lions are going to be really good again next year.
You do?
Oh, yeah, really good.
I thought you were out on the Lions.
No, I said that last week. I'm like, when the first team I wanted to bet on again this year was Detroit. I don't know if I'm going to get there before the summer, though. I was off them this year. I was super high on them 2 years ago. But a last-place schedule, looking at their opponents, the Lions are going to have a major bounce back here this year.
Under 9.5 on the Bears?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, and then the door's open for Aaron Rodgers to return, consent today, which most people think that's going to happen. Rodgers will start next year for the Steelers and kumbaya with McCarthy. Run it back a year.
I'm fine with that.
Good. All
right. I would rather have him come back and play with the Steelers and that team take Ty Simpson middle of the first round.
Yes.
You can't do that. Can I give you some breaking news here at Circa?
Oh, good, yeah.
Somebody playing, you like playing Pai Gow?
No, it hit!
The Pai Gow Progressive hit 15 minutes ago for $385,000.
Get out of here. Second time ever.
See, there's a photo on my phone right now.
Who told you that?
Check your phone. Derek Stevens text both of us.
Is that right?
It looks like the player who hit it was dealt a royal flush. I don't see a joker out there.
No way.
Looking at the photo right now. Yeah, there was no joker involved. The two up top.
Oh, my God.
8-9 of diamonds. The five below. 10 jack, queen, king, ace.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
There's the royal flush. The seven card royale with cheese. $385,000. Right there. Can you see it? Look at that. No joker involved.
I can't believe how much this happens. Luke, you have in the system, right? It just hit on the strip. I'll play it tomorrow. Some guy just won $1.5 million somewhere. Was it Caesars or something? He hit. I can't believe how many times this hits.
But you said this was the second time ever here.
Second time ever here, yeah.
And South Point, it pops once in a while, and that bad boy's always more
usually
than...
once a month. They had back-to-back days there one time.
Yeah.
But they also have like 6-7 tables going. It's such a local favorite.
What is this one right here that we have? That for $1.5, $5 million? Winner at seat one? Yeah, there's a joker involved there. Look at that. Look at the stack of chips on that thing.
Oh, man. I'm stunned. And I know there's so many casinos out there, but I'm shocked how many times this happens that you're getting seven cards and you have to get the straight flush. And here the guy doesn't even have the joker. But that I know, it shows it. They only have one table going here.
Yeah.
But it's only happened twice in the existence of the casino here. History of Circa.
God, imagine looking at your cards.
Oh.
The feeling you have.
I had a good sweat. I told that, it was last year on vacation. I went to the Palms. I was playing with Shauna, and my first four cards were joker, ace, ace, ace. Five aces was like 190,000, 200,000, something
like
that.
Oh, no way.
I didn't get it. But those are tied into all different casinos, and that's why the Progressive's so high.
So I don't play.
But they got the royal flush. Excuse me. They got the seven card straight flush, and they got the five aces jackpot.
So if you're dealt those seven cards, you just flip them over and just start dancing?
I have no idea. I guess you just set the hand, and there was a good story too locally. It was at Green Valley. This is in Henderson, for people who don't know. Green Valley. A lady got one of those type hands and went back to show her husband. It's like, look at this, honey. And the pit boss came in and said, that hand's dead. You took your hand away.
You're kidding.
I couldn't imagine that, Scrooge. How do you do that?
And that was a Progressive too?
I don't know. It was a Progressive. I don't know what it was. But he voided the hand because she went back to show her husband, look what I got.
In Pocket plays next here on VSiN.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're up.
All right. Getting close with the pending. Good job by DraftKings. A lot of stuff is up there. A ton of teams are listed. Yes, no to make the tournament. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, has Miami of Ohio out if they lose in the championship game or conference.
If that, and that's our only loss?
Yeah. In the 50s with the ranking, their number, this is something.
Boy.
But they did have them in last four in with the mock committee that they did with the media, as it was the number one hot topic. As they play, they're playing right now, 27-0, four games left regular season. You can also bet at DraftKings, Miami of Ohio go undefeated regular season, 31-0. To make the tournament, no, plus 320. Now it's plus 270. Santa Clara, the big game tomorrow, to make the tournament, no, minus 115. It's now $1.70, yes. They are 5.5-point underdogs at St. Mary's. Huge matchup tomorrow. Joe Lenardi has them last four in. They already beat St. Mary's. If they lose, we could see round three out here in the semis of the West Coast Tournament. USC +7.5 tonight. Rivalry game in UCLA off the big overtime win against Illinois. USC also last four out, according to Bracketology. St. Mary's tomorrow. Boy, this went from 3.5 to 4.5 to 5.5 like that. So St. Mary's 4.5 against Santa Clara. Huge game tomorrow at 8 o'clock Pacific. And Kevin Porter for the Bucks, over 17.5 points, $1.25 at DraftKings. He's been on fire and filling up the box score and the stat sheet for the Bucks. I like that game over tonight against the Heat. Good luck.
All right, last night, Kansas money line plus 115 was a winner. I have them in pocket 6-1. To make the Final Four and 60-1 to win the whole thing. If they had a chance to play every Monday night for their,
yeah,
for the, they would win it. Sell 41-0. That was the good. The bad was me advising Stephen F. Austin on a Moneyline parlay yesterday. And if you bet it, again, give me a heads up. When you come to Las Vegas, I'll buy you a beer. That was sick. Pendy making the Final Four. Virginia at 17. St. John 16. And Arkansas a little bit higher than 11-1, the new plays that we have tonight. Donovan Clingan for the Blazers, over 1.5 blocks, plus 116. So far in 9 February games, he had 2 games with 0 blocks. The other 7 games, he had at least 2, a lot of times going way over 2. And by the way, one of the losses was that 157-103 loss to Denver. He played 19 minutes. Game was over like in the second quarter. 2 games so far against the Wolves, he did go under 1.5 blocks once. He had 2 of the other games, so we'll take that plus money. I got to go. My guy, Con Knepel, tonight, over 3.5, made 3s, on fire yet again. That's plus 110. The Hornets are great at covering numbers, and Knepel, a major reason why. In February, 4.5 makes on 9.5 attempts per game. His last 6 games, 5, 7, 3, 4, 5, and 6 makes, and the Bulls are dead last in defense at 3-point percentage allowed at 37.6%. I think this number is too low tonight. Heat Bucks, I played that over 228. And at the Cognizant Classic, 2 smaller bets so far, a little bit of pizza money, a little bit higher than that, but we'll call it 0.2 units on Steven Yeager, first-round leader at 55-1, and Keith Mitchell, first-round leader at 40-1.
Best betting stretch of the year right around the corner. Man, it's going to get crazy now. Championship week right around the corner. March, and the first bids go out a week from Saturday. I think 4 bids go out a week from Sunday. VSiN's offering the Hoops Mania special. VSiN Pro through May 1st, $29.99. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The DK Circa betting splits, 24/7 video, full show replays, and our March Mania betting guide. Team profiles, every tournament team, key trends each round. Bracket future strategies. It's a must if you're betting the tournament. Sign up today, VSiN.com/subscribe.
Can I give you the ratings for the hockey game?
Go ahead.
NBC Peacock peaked at 26 million in overtime. According to NBC, the most viewers ever for a pre-9 a.m. Eastern time sporting event. CBC in Canada peaked at 8.7 in overtime. You should read the comments. People ripping on Canadians.
Peaked at what?
in overtime, 8.7 in Canada. People are responding, wow, pathetic. Less than 25% of the Canadians tuned in.
Yeah.
Not even a fourth of their country, hockey country in quotes, though. Just that's every single comment, basically.
That's incredible. It's that low?
Yeah.
Wow.
On the Canadian side, yep.
Johnny Avello was on with Primetime, and he said it was the third most bet hockey game ever in DraftKings history. Bad result, obviously. Last year's, to your point, last year's Four Nations face-off final was the most bet hockey game in DraftKings history.
Well, again, time of game has a lot to do with that, probably.
Yeah.
I think if that game, again, if that was 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Pacific on Sunday, then again, they're playing in Italy, so that's going to, you know, the closing ceremonies, whatever. Or what about this? What about if they actually scheduled the hockey so the gold medal matches on Saturday? So they could play it at a different time.
Yeah. And did you send Luke the picture?
Of Pygau?
Yeah.
I did not.
Okay. The breaking news, someone just hit the Pygau Progressive here at Circa. Second time ever, over 300,000. Delta Royal Flush. But he did not, he played the hand wrong, but to be, it wouldn't have mattered because the dealer had nines and kings. So nines up top with the kings, but the guy wins over 300 grand and they paid him in plaques. Good for him.
Well, I'm guessing that Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis are going to talk about this tomorrow on VSiN by the Books, 7 a.m. Eastern time. Dave texts me listening to the show now, and he said that Pygau Poker, absolutely his favorite game, and he misses it dearly. Now, again, he does the show in the mornings from Circa in Kentucky, so it's on the Kentucky-Tennessee border, and I'm like, they don't have it at all in Kentucky? He said there are no table games in Kentucky, no casinos outside of where he's broadcasting from. In Tennessee, it's a travesty, and yes, that's the rule. If you get up and leave your seat, you void the hand. Like you were talking about that lady who said, look at what I got. Oops, sorry. That's that hand is voided. And evidently, Dave does love this game. He said that he's thought about it a million times, and if he ever got the seven-card straight flush, he would set his hand down like you had no idea until the dealer flipped the cards over. Would you be able to be that composed? You're dealt right now, and you have, you know, you get the seven card straight
flush. You
get
all the time in the world. I think you could.
It's a slow paced game.
Yeah, you get your time to set your hand and be you.
Right,
yeah,
and you're not going to jump out of your seat.
Yeah, that's, I know your reaction. I know.
No. Yeah.
Good call.
I find Pygau to be unplayable. Partially because
it's a great drinking game because you're supposed to push a lot.
That's what I was told again.
Yes.
My expectations were destroyed for this game when I first moved out here, and I haven't played it in probably 20 years.
Oh, man.
Come on, guys. Let's go play some Pygau. We'll get a group of friends together. Go grab a table in the afternoon. We'll sit there. We'll drink. We'll have a great time. Okay, sounds fun. You push a lot? Okay, I'm in. I got my head buried, absolutely blasted in the first two times I played. I'm like, this sucks. What are you guys talking about? I felt like I was duped and lied to.
Yeah. Bad beat.
Yeah, I'd say.
People are trying to think of comparisons with Kirk Cousins. Tom Brady made $332 million career, 7 Super Bowls. Kirk Cousins, who's going to be released March 11th, made $322 million. He has one playoff win. Mm.
Will he land with another team?
I say so, yes.
Yeah, he will.
Will he start? No. I'll be a backup. 1-4 in the postseason, but built his fortune through savvy free agent deals since... Since 2012.
Well, that's what it was all about, basically.
It was, the right time, right place. Hey, I'll get tagged here. They'll tag me here. Signed the big deal in Atlanta. Kirk, 322, one playoff win. Brady, 332, 35 playoff wins. Aaron Rodgers, 395, 11 playoff wins. Matthew Stafford, $400 million, 7 playoff wins.
Wow. And Atlanta announced today, they made it official, they put the franchise tag on Kyle Pitts. That's good. I like that. I just need to know what's going to happen at quarterback next year.
I know.
The 80-1 is tempting.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued. Not that he's a great quarterback, but it's a great destination for Kyler Murray, Atlanta or Minnesota, if he could wind up there. I'd love to see that.
I'll tell you that.
And I know I don't care who the quarterback is. I can't believe Atlanta's win total is 6.5, even if it's going to be Penix.
Well, other books have already... They're going to open like at 8.5. So you better grab that 6.5 ASAP. That's not going to be your, I'm actually more fascinated by where Malik Willis goes.
Yeah. Sounds like Miami.
I like the unknown with him more than Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa.
I like Willis more than Tua. Murray's hard to gauge.
I know he is. Miami leading Eastern Michigan right now, 23-10.
All right.
About 8:40 to play in the first half.
All right, good pace.
One of the best teams at covering numbers the entire year. And they are the fourth best team at going over on the season as well. Jerry Palm has him out with a loss in the conference title
game. That's unbelievable. Think about that.
Oh, that'd be people cry outrage over that. Primetime's next. I'll take you through the live betting night in college basketball and the NBA. Dustin follows with cashing out. And catch Dave and Jensen talking about that Pigou jackpot, among other things, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We'll see you.